if you guys remember in February, the Lord had me in Matthew chapter 6. And what came out of that is there's two places that Jesus says, your Father knows what you have need of before you pray. So because of that, then do these things. And so I'd like to make this statement again to you guys. There's four things, and three of them are known and one of them is unknown. The Father knows what I need. I generally know what I need. The Father generally knows what He needs. There's only one missing component. We don't know what the Father needs. So in this relationship, He's aware of what I need. He's aware of what He needs. I'm aware of what I need, sorry. We just don't know what He needs. And so at the very cornerstone of the thing that I cannot get around, and I'm just sorry that this is going to be a little clunky this morning for all of us, is that I can't move from this spot for a while. I've been asking the Lord, please let me move. But I am stuck with the question, what does God want to do? And I'm also convinced that it's not all inside of here. It's inside of you. You guys walked in. So, as we're working through finding the flow of whatever we're supposed to do, if someone's got a song and you want to sing it, just say so. Like, it's weird, isn't it? At the Pranger family, I think you did this. You're the one that said, not that you need to do this now, right? But the last time we were together, Leah's like, I think we should sing this. And it's like, wow, nobody's going to.
I said somebody with a good singing voice.
Somebody with a good singing voice. Let's.
99% not Pranger.
Now it worked because the whole Pranger family's loud enough, but I didn't know most. I only knew a few of the words. And so I joined in and then I'd go quiet and somebody else knew the other words. And it worked out, right? So it flows. I'm not against singing. And Ray, I apologize. I just figured that somewhere. I thought there was going to be singing. I thought my boys were going to be here. So I just am going along and all of a sudden find out they're with Aunt Beth. And I'm like, okay, well, and the Lord just stopped me and said, no, you're not going to. I'm like, I don't like that. But anyways, and then as I'm getting my sermon, I'm like, there's just really, it's kind of a dud here. But we'll figure this out as we go along. So I'm just going to pause for like 10 seconds there. For station identification and whatever, and see if anybody have anything that you want to do. I'm not asking if somebody starts singing a song, but what you can, if there is that leading, and then we're going to step in. I'll give you a few other things that we are going to do, and I'm confident the Lord has going to get through whatever He wants to get through this morning. I'm very, very positive about that. Amen, David.
Amen.
Okay, were you chuckling because you're laughing at me, or you're something inside?
I think God gave us
this. Amen. And so there's a part, and I'll share this later. I don't even know the order. I have one page of just miscellaneous thoughts, and so I'm going to try to just lead through this best I can. But I totally on that page. Like, He can get us through it, and sometimes we get in such a planning mode that we just miss the piece, right? So we'll see what happens this morning. Gabe left. Like, he's out. Like, Gabe must have been, I'm messing with you, Gabe. You don't need to come back in. You're good. You're going to lead a song?
No,
okay. Go to Matthew 21. This is literally reverse. This is my last point. I think it's supposed to be my first point. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 23. This has been burning in me for a couple weeks here. Wasn't sure if it was just for me. Really, it was just a little note down here in the corner. I don't have any. Just interesting. 23. And when He was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, when was it? Was it from heaven or was it from men? They reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, Why didn't you believe him then? But if we say of men, we'll fear the people, for they thought he was a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we can't tell. We can't tell. Called Matt this morning, or I think I texted and said, hey, give me a shot when you're up. Just kind of check and see what you want to do on communion. I told him, I said, hey, this may come up, but it's totally at the end. And it's kind of something I'm thinking we may, but all of a sudden just really felt strongly that maybe this is to be the beginning. Jesus is saying to, at that point would be the religious leaders, he is saying to them, he's asking them a question. And I'm so profoundly struggling with this question. He said to them, is John the Baptist's baptism from heaven or not from heaven? It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple question. Is that from heaven or is it not from heaven? And they struggled giving him an answer. Right? Now, the Lord began to deal with me a couple weeks ago. Maybe, yeah, it was probably around time Roger was here and came out. But he said, okay, let's remove John the Baptist, and let's just ask that question. Is that from heaven or is that not from heaven? Is what we're doing from heaven or not from heaven? And the answer is amazingly, like it's a heavy, heavy answer. Because if the answer is it's from heaven, then by God, go do it. But if it's not from heaven, then stop doing it. Like, that's really black and white. At every contextual level of a million decisions, is that from God or is it not from God? And if it's from God and the answer is yes, then do it. And if it's not from God, stop doing it, right? Because he's Jehovah. And if we had a clear cut, absolute, that's from God, it's not from God, then it's just easy to go about life, right? Isn't it, Matt? All we got to do is get together and go, is that God or is it not God? And then let's just make a decision and do it. It's really simple, right? No, it's not that simple, is it? I suggest that our answers are more like those Pharisees. We just aren't willing to admit it. We aren't willing to say it. And that in all of what I'm dealing with, and even where we might go and what we're doing here in Corona and what we might do to a building and what we might change or it still is this question, is that God or is it not God? The complicated part is we all have to answer that question in a corporate setting, and all of our answers got to be the same. So, that's the dilemma that at the end of the day, I wasn't going to share that because I haven't, frankly, it's not worked out in me. Because what I struggle with is I'm seeing myself as one of those Pharisees. I have lots of things in my life that I have to come back if Jesus was saying, is that of me, Nick, or is that not of me? And I'd have to come back and say, I can't tell. I don't know. The difference then, and this is where the Lord just within the last 24 hours began to talk to me. Look at verse 25 again. Listen to what they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, we're wrong. If we shall say of men, we're wrong. Here's what the Lord said. Nick, the answer that I don't know is okay when it's baked in humility. They're not in humility. The Pharisaical answer is, I'm not going to answer that, Jesus, because I'm going to get hurt either way. Selfish motive in that. But there's also selfish. See, they actually did have an answer. They thought they knew. They were arrogant enough to act. They thought that it wasn't. Right? They were going to say, because John the Baptist got put in prison and killed, their answer was going to be, well, that obviously wasn't God because John the Baptist was arrested and put in prison. That was the Pharisees' attitude about John the Baptist because it was the same thing that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. They will think that God killed him because of the sinfulness of the blasphemy, whatever that word is. Isaiah prophesied that the Pharisees would look at Jesus because he's hanging on that cross up there and they would say, see, God punished him. So they would say, because he's dead, he was not from heaven. They did the same thing with John the Baptist. They said, because he went over there and run his mouth and he's dead now, that obviously is not God. Don't measure spiritual things by death. Lesson number one. It's not a good measuring stick. Those two instances right there, those Pharisees were completely wrong. The point being is that this question of, is that God? Is it not God? There's just most of our lives are in a, I can't tell. I'm not sure. As we walk this out, as I'm going to cast probably some vision, and we're going to talk and we're kicking around what the Lord wants us to do, because we've been talking about what does the Lord want us to do. At the cornerstone of what we're talking about is not what I want, not what I want, not what I want, but what does God need us to do? And the answer then, this is this other part that goes with it. Once you walk in and say, absolutely, God wants me to do that. Well, how do you know that? The best you can do is, I think that's what he wants us to do, right? It's really safe when it's community. This is where I'm headed. It's really safe when we walk in here and it's like, hey, I don't know. What do you guys think? I may even be saying something right now. Matt looks at me and says, I don't agree with that. Okay, give me... And I'm just picking on Matt. Gabe may say it. David may say it. Uncle Butch, if you say that I said something wrong, I'll probably stop in my tracks just to make sure. So Uncle Butch is 81, right? Am I allowed to say that? Yes. Too late. What? It's too late. He's an elite turkey hunter. I mean an elite turkey hunter. My dad... He was a church kid, but my dad introduced you to the man, Jesus, somewhere around the time I was born. So Uncle Butch is, he's really my dad's best friend, and it's great, great to have him up here. All right. What's next? All right, give me some feedback. Who said, anybody say something? Give me some feedback. Gabe. Huh? You have too much feedback. Well, I know you well enough, so boil it down.
So I've been questioning, we move the ball in what we're doing. Like, I think about the things that I do that I think are spiritual and admittedly don't know. I think that I've been on the I don't know train a while. Meaning, it's easy to follow the Lord if I do the Lord. I mean, it's not complicated to me. If I know it's Him, I'm doing it. Like,
yeah.
That's a check mark for me. But I don't know. And there are times where I think I know, and there's stuff that looks really, really spiritual, but I'm like, are we even moving the ball? And so, like, are we moving the ball here? Like, I don't remember my last sermon. Like, I don't remember. Like, I don't know how it moves somebody else's life when I don't remember. And so, a couple things, just in that spectrum, I'll say two things. It's Pranger family, we get together, and it doesn't matter why we get together, it matters that we get together. Mm-hmm. We try to put reasons around why we get together, birthdays or holidays or whatever. But family's supposed to get together, and it doesn't matter what happens or what we're doing as long as we get together. So I think we're supposed to get together. And with that being said, I don't have a lot more.
David.
They had the answer. They had the right answer. They didn't like the right answer. Because he says, if they from heaven,
do it.
You have to believe in me. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. So they're mixing religion mm-hmm. and spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the spirit. But they grew up in the laws of religion. Mm-hmm. And so that, the confusion, mm-hmm. is because they're mixing the leaven of religion with the spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you mix those two together, and as a whole, I think Western Church has done that very, very well. There's going to be confusion.
It's good.
Where if it's spirit, there's not confusion. There's peace. Now that's being, that spirit is harnessing you. That spirit is, you know what I'm saying? But there's not confusion. I don't even think it's uncomfortable. I think there's unknowns in the spirit. I don't know. But when I said to you, God figured this thing out, God already knew this.
Yeah, agreed.
I knew this was going to go in this direction. God said, okay.
I think it can. I would agree that it's. I think it can be uncomfortable. And just talking to you and I, if you and I went out and picked 12 guys like Jesus picked, purely spiritual led, and then threw them in a room and said, "Get along," it may not be uncomfortable for you and I, who are following the Holy Spirit. But it's probably going to be uncomfortable for some of them. And clearly Scripture says it. I agree. But so my point is, I'm not trying to eliminate uncomfortable. I'm just wrestling because I like that.
The uncomfortable thing is just if we all say giving our yes.
Yeah.
It's a true yes.
Yeah.
And we're not letting anything hold us back.
Yeah.
There's no limits or no restrictions to my yes on what he's doing.
But how do we know when it's him?
But this is the key. But what David just said, and I'll come back to that. When we're all in community, when a family gets together and it's all like, hey, we're going to do this and go that particular direction, and everybody gives their yes, it still may be uncomfortable, but what's not uncomfortable is the direction we're supposed to go. So to some degree, I think it's semantics a little bit, but your point is, how do you know?
Yeah. No, so if you come in and tell me something, say, I heard the Lord, I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Like, I'm 100%.
I'm okay with that.
No, but I'm 100%. I'm following the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I've just watched too many times where men of God come together and they don't agree. And I don't do that.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
No, I actually love that space, right?
If God's telling me to do something, I might invite somebody to go along.
Yeah.
But if I know I'm supposed to do it, okay. If you have an opinion or you have something that you like, okay, that's not for now. I'm good with that. I try not to get offended.
I'm not trying to center stage with David.
No, but I picked on you two because you two have such a dynamic relationship outside. Like, you guys are punching each other all the time. So,
okay, no matter what. But yeah. The point is that works great in a
relationship.
You know, in my world, in my house, I can follow God how I want to follow God in my house and hear from God. But when I come in and mix it into a corporate setting, that gets sticky fast.
Yeah.
So. That's where my biggest unknown is when I go into a group of people, I don't know how to add my piece because I don't know if my piece is right. I start really questioning my piece when I get into a corporate setting.
All right.
You never know if your piece is right if you don't tell us.
Yes.
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 And so we bring the pieces together and we figure out how they fit. Maybe it needs to be spun a little bit. Maybe it needs to be flipped over. Maybe there's a piece in the middle that needs to go there. But if you feel that you've got something, you bring it. Maybe it needs to be shimmed up a little bit. I don't
know. Yeah.
So is it fair to say it needs submitted?
It needs to what?
Be submitted.
Yeah.
So, I do remember a sermon I preached. That we're probably wrong. Where I said, you have fivefold ministry, you're probably functioning maybe in one, probably not all five, and you need other input. So to come in and say, I've heard the Holy Spirit is different than coming in and saying, I submit that I feel like this is where I'm being led to and not be absolute about it.
I don't submit it to me. I don't know. So I'm just saying. I'm a part of the puzzle. But to you and David over there, kind of from my view, it's great because you guys just landed in a spot that I didn't know we would land in. But it's to David, to your point. Hey, if I say that I'm going to go that way and nobody goes, I'm okay with that. You have to go where Holy Spirit tells you. And sometimes what we think is something corporately to be done is actually not corporate. It's just individual, right? And so there's all this complexity which goes into the question that Jesus is asking them. Now this one's easy for us because we read the Bible with foreknowledge. We can look at that and go, well, there are some absolutes, right? John the Baptist was from God based on what we believe. But tomorrow's John the Baptist, right? The John the Baptist of tomorrow, the prophetic voice that shows up tomorrow, or the evangelist that shows up tomorrow, when you're in the mode and he's basically saying, we need to go from over here to over here. Well, that's a whole different, now we're really in the, this is hindsight. We can look back and say, oh yeah, they should have listened to John the Baptist. Would we have listened to John the Baptist in the day if we were in charge of the synagogue? Not sure, right? Don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. This is really clunky, but it's great. I'm glad. Yes.
It comes down to trust.
Yeah.
Because if I was supposed to hear John the Baptist back then, like these Pharisees, their hearts were hard. They never turned their hearts. So they thought the law is going to be the law for eternity. And Jesus had a different plan. And he told them about that plan. They just never understood the plan. And so their hearts were already, I'm going to follow the law until I die. And they never were able to turn their eyes to Jesus. So it's about trust. Am I hearing what I'm...
Yeah.
The Spirit inside of me, the fullness of God inside of me, do I trust that?
Yeah.
And if I do trust that, I can listen.
Correct.
And I can hear. And it, whatever this thing inside of me, the fullness of God inside of me, that has not been fully revealed yet.
Right.
But it's coming. Do I trust this to listen and do?
Yeah.
And give him my yes.
Well,
and that's hard.
And add the step that Steph and Gabe and you guys are all talking about. When I hear something inside, do I trust it enough to come and lay it out? Steph's point. Do I trust to come in and say, I really feel like Holy Spirit's telling us that? Because the risk is everybody in the room goes, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah, we're not going. Okay. Well, you still have to have confidence. There's lots of things that I've walked into business or something and said something and nobody wanted to do it. Okay, well, must be for another day. Set it on the shelf. And I don't know how, Lynn and I talk about this. I don't know where she went, but Lynn and I talk about this all the time. When Holy Spirit's leading me to do something and it just falls dead, like, I just can't let myself go over in the corner for the next week and a half and pout. I just pick it up and go, either I missed it, they missed it, but I don't know. Like, I'm just going to get up and keep moving, right? I mean, this is the point. But that confidence is a really key piece. So we're going to come back to hardness of heart. Come here. Come up here. I'm going to have you pray over Bill. Okay? Because I know you're also fiery and connected to this whole thing. Listen, I just had Bill come up. This wasn't really, I was singing called worship earlier, but this works out good. And just had this thought. Don't miss, Linda prayed for Israel the other day, and Nathan had said, hey, there's a lot going on in our country. Don't miss that the devil is stirring up a ton of hatred about Israel. Like, this stuff, this is not a war about money or a war about land. This is a war about what really went on with Ishmael and Isaac a long time ago in the Bible. And what you're doing, and a lot of people I happen to know there, these are Bible believing, Jesus following people who are connected. And in some sense, in talking to you, as much as I'm called maybe to stand up here and preach, you're called to this spot. Like, you're following what the Lord has called you to do, and these others are trying to do that the same way. And so what we really need to be praying is that they can answer the question we're really talking about. Is that from God? Is that not from God? Where am I supposed to go? Because when you get that sense that David's talking about, when you know that's the direction God, you can put a lot of energy there. Like, you can put a lot of focus. We appreciate that you're not going to retire for like another 50 years, right? I'm teasing. So on one hand, you're encouraging us, wake up, get involved. Young people, look for the calling. The calling, the religious, the spiritual calling is not just about being involved in the church. It's involved about being involved in our community. Mm-hmm. And so it's good. Shelly, lead us in prayer over this particular election and over Bill.
Okay, why don't you all stretch your hands to Bill here. Father, we thank you for Bill and the calling on his life that he's walking out. We thank you, Father, for the words that he speaks and the boldness that he's coming forward, the courage. And Father, we just pray that that same boldness and courage is released over this community and over everyone that you are calling us to rise up and stand up in this position. God, you built America for you. And so, Father, I thank you that your voice goes out through Bill and through these, through other people that are coming up in the election. Lord, I pray for your favor on God's people. I pray for the kingdom of God to be in favor with God and also with man. And so, Father, I pray that when we go to vote, that we that we vote the kingdom of God. And yes. I pray, Father, that our voices will go out and they will be heard. And Lord, I pray that you would remove the hindrances and that you remove the veil from people being able to see clearly. And I declare in Jesus' name that people can see and hear truth. I pray, Father, that all super PACs would be thrown down in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that people can see clearly. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that's on Bill. And I pray, Father, that he would be like, Father, I thank you that you take people like Bill who can advise these younger ones coming up. And I ask, Father, that your will be done in this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Bill and Shell.
I'm like, what?
You're up. I knew. That's good. All right. Okay. Flip over. I'm gonna hit you with my 5-minute thing here, and then I'm gonna kick it to Matt. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. Let's go there first. This was probably the thing that was on my heart. Roger Mirschbrock, when he was here, I had him share a story about this ox in the ditch. And so we're gonna just talk for maybe 5-10 here about this, and then Matt, be ready to come up and do communion, and you'll be ending. Luke chapter 14, verse 1-6 here. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace and took him, and he healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him these things again. Roger Mirschbrock, when he was here, I don't have time to go into all that, but they're just drinking from a fire hose with Roger Mirschbrock when he's here. There's a whole life, probably 7 to 10 years of things that are flowing with me about men and about church and about Pastor Paul and about all kinds of stuff. Pastor Paul, one of the last books on his desk. Gabe, you know the book name?
Yeah.
What is it?
Why
Men Hate Going to Church. It was one of the last books on Pastor Paul's desk that he was beginning to talk to Gabe and I, and he just was fired up about it. But it wasn't so much, it wasn't that the book was right or wrong. It just was, he was so focused on men and that the enemy had done a trick on men. And so I want to come back to this point. David, I'm going to connect this back to what you said about hard hearts, what Roger said there, some things that I'm going through, and I want to just take a lesson away from this, and then I'm gonna pitch it to Matt, and we're actually gonna, in my opinion, take communion over. I'm gonna personally take communion over this particular point. Holding your place there in Luke 14, I'm gonna come back to, but go over to Mark chapter 3. I want to share one other scripture that's very similar. It's gonna connect back, David, to your point. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 1-6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. Now, remember, over in Luke, the ox story, he's going in on the Sabbath, which is the holy day. He's going into the Pharisee's house, and he is challenging them about this particular thing, and he heals a man in front of them, and then he basically says about this ox, if it's in a ditch, why wouldn't you pick it up on the Sabbath? This is a different place and time, different thing that happened, but it's the same principle. Verse 1, chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others, and Pharisees went out straightway and took counsel to do something about him. Roger tells this story. Roger told me, I'm going to tell you a very different story about the ox. When Roger and Charlotte were here, I stood up, and right at the end, I had this unction. I'm saying, hey, Roger, tell them about the ox, and that's how we closed the service. Later, Roger clarified with me in a number of different manners, both when he originally told me this story and then afterward, and here's his clarification, which I'm going to relay to you. He said this to me in the strongest terms. He said, Nick, the parable of the ox is not a lesson in being a good Samaritan. The parable of what happened here in Luke, where Jesus is sitting there and he's sitting with a bunch of Pharisees and he heals a man, when you read it, it sounds as if it's a lesson in helping others. He said, this is not the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is not the parable where the woman gave her two mites, or where the disciple, when he said, go sell everything you have and come follow me. He said, this is a lesson about the heart of those Pharisees, about how they were looking at that particular meeting time. He said, it was not a parable about doing good. He was angry at how they were beginning to worship the very Sabbath. He said, they were worshiping the four walls. They were worshiping the event. Their hearts were not purely to where God. And if you remember, his story was that on the way to church that morning, that he tells this ox story, the Lord arrests him and says to him about the hay. Remember the hay story? The hay story was, hey, he arrives in church. He's a pastor, and he's stepping up here, and he's supposed to go through all this stuff because that's how he gets his paycheck. And the Lord arrests him and says, tell everybody to go home, put their clothes on, and go help that guy get hay in. He said, I was broken in that. I was aware that we worship the wrong things. And so with that said, this ox story is a release. It was a release for me. Like he began to challenge me about how am I looking at what we're doing? What does God need us to do? And so this kind of connects back again. We're not going to develop this all right here today, but your point, we started with, we don't know if what we're doing is from God or not. Your point was the best we can do is follow the Holy Spirit. But then Steph's point is we have to kind of connect all that to figure out what everybody, and the more people we get, the more complex it gets, right? Because are we supposed to come in here and sing and preach every Sunday? I don't know. The parable and the message I'm hearing is, I don't care what we do, I'm searching for what is the position of our heart, right? What is the position and attitude of the heart? If the Holy Spirit says to do something different, are we willing to do that? And adjusting that. Listen, last year, for instance, we decided on a Sunday to cancel Sunday morning and go to my house and do a campfire. Hey, just to be clear, that didn't go well with everybody. Like that wasn't, not everybody was thrilled about that. I'm okay with that. I struggled with it myself. I thought about it for a year before I even suggested we might do it. Like that becomes a struggle because we don't touch this space. We don't do this thing. And I don't know why I'm dealing with this. I'm happy. It'd be much easier for me just to follow the routine. But Roger's point to me was, going back to this thing, routine can make a hard heart. I don't want a hard heart. We all have a hard heart. But we can't find that until the Lord's trying to move it. Like, hey, listen, we have been 2 years in everybody saying something's going on, something's going on, something's going on, something's going on. Okay, that's great. I'm pressing, I'm challenging others. What is that next thing? What are we supposed to be doing? And listen, we have to do some structural things here. Hey, the roof's falling apart, just so y'all know. So like okay, and I am the building commission, so I'm to blame there. We gotta make some changes in this. We gotta make some changes about what we're doing, not only physically, the physical environment we have to make some adjustments to, but the Lord's challenging me on the heart environment. And what I'm hearing him say is, if you go mess with this physical environment before your heart is correct, then you won't be where I need you to be. Because at the end of the day, Roger and Charlotte's number one message to at least the Pranger family, I'm assuming you guys heard this as well, is advance the kingdom. okay? Advance the kingdom. That, I don't know what that means for everybody. That's a man's term. Advance the kingdom. Stop playing church. Stop doing things that aren't advancing the kingdom. Get busy advancing the kingdom. The time is getting short. Jesus isn't prolonging a long time. Like, advance the kingdom. That's what this is about. This isn't about whatever we do. Advance the kingdom. And so I'm a little bit fired up about that. And I, in some degree, I'm not even sure I know what that means. But understand that. So here's what it's going to be. Matt, you can get ready to do whatever you're going to do, which I don't know. Okay? So ball's in your court. I'm going to be calling a meeting at some point, and we're going to be discussing. I am challenging at the core of who I am. I am challenging the thing you're talking about. I want to know what's inside of you. I want to know what's inside of you. I want to know what's inside Michael and Jen. I want to know even what's in you, Will. I want to know what's in everybody's heart about what are we supposed to be doing? What is God needing from us? Because just doing this on Sunday morning, this is the other thing Roger said. Sometimes the routine isn't so much about the leaders just wanting to do it so it's easy. It's actually because it's easier for all of you. You just check the box and go, that's my Christian service. Wrong. This is not your Christian service. Out there when you leave is your Christian service. Coming here on an hour and saying it's okay just to do this, wrong. It's not okay. That is not following Christ just because you come here for an hour and check the box. We've got to do something different for the community. If we don't advance the kingdom, I'm not saying we can go win them all, but I'm saying we're going to go try. Like, we're going to go advance the kingdom. We got to break out of our routine. I don't know what that means. I don't really care. I'm just one piece of the puzzle, right? I'm just one piece of the puzzle. And the Lord, and now that I'm on the back side of this, an hour and 15 minutes in, I'm very aware of one particular thing in my own heart. I can't even see my own heart in the mirror until sometimes I feel it. Like, this felt odd this morning to me. I'm leading. I'm like, y'all going to hate me because this is just not normal, right? But I know you're not going to hate me. So Michael's like, no, we won't hate you, Nick. So it feels odd to me, which means then something down inside of me, it feels odd to just, let's go follow the Holy Spirit. That shouldn't feel odd. Right? That should feel total freedom. The total extreme of this is, let's just show up whenever and ask Holy Spirit what to do. Well, what day would that be and what time? Right? Well, okay, so there has to be some structure to this thing. I get it. Bible talks about some structure. But at the end of the day, I'm looking in the mirror going, okay, I get it. I like routine. But routine ends up in a hard heart a little bit. So I'm measuring a little bit even myself this morning in this thing. Okay. Are you ready, Matt?
I don't want to do this, but
no, you have to do it. Are you going to sing a song?
No.
Okay.
But if I can, this has been heavy on my heart for like a couple weeks. The Lord's been talking to me about the fear of the Lord. I might need a microphone because I can't talk that loud.
No, just turn around right here.
The Lord's been talking to me about the fear of the Lord, and it's mentioned 27 times in the entire Bible, but it's only mentioned once in the New Testament. And it's mentioned during the Acts church when signs and miracles broke out, the fear of the Lord fell on everyone. And I have been studying all the scriptures, and I wrote them down, and then I made like a paragraph of what the fear of the Lord is from based on each scripture. And I just want to read it. The fear of the Lord is a choice. It is to be searched for like hidden treasure. It is the instruction of wisdom. It can be taught to children. Even the small measure of it is better than treasure. It prolongs days. It is the beginning of knowledge. It is clean, enduring forever. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is a foundation. It is the foundation of life that turns one away from the snares of death. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence and a place of refuge for his children. It is to be zealous for every day. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It is to be acted on faithfully with a loyal heart. It is the stability of your times, the strength of salvation, and his treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those who walk in obedience have understanding of it. It leads to life, and those who find it will abide in satisfaction and will not be visited with evil. It is protection from the enemies that surround us. The fear of the Lord is his delight. The Holy Spirit is the embodiment of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you, for the Lord is a God of justice. The fear of the Lord empowers you to defeat the enemies that come against you. It multiplies the ecclesia. It brings unity to the ecclesia. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And why would we not want that?
Amen.
And what does it look like to walk in that? And I feel like it answers all your questions. Like, we don't have to be right or wrong. If we're seeking to reverence the Father and Him alone, that brings unity to the body. Amen. And everything flows from that place.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Awesome. You're an awesome kid, you know that? Even though you're my, I won't say you're my favorite niece. Maggie is, and Josie. When you were reading that, I thought, I put that in context to the Pharisees' answer, and I thought, what a different answer it could be when we don't understand, given that if we're in the fear of the Lord, we're saying, Father, I hear you, like David's saying. I hear you. This is burning inside of me. I'm confident enough to share it with somebody else in the body just to see if that's some kind of puzzle piece. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure whether I'm supposed to go that way or that way, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go do something. And your point being is, when that's pure, you almost can't make a mistake. Because even if there is a mistake, you're just like, okay, sorry. You just adjust, like, because it's like a family. I mean, you just adjust. You just figure that piece of it out. There's something unique going on in this body, and it's great. Great word. Great word.